You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is the full show from today's episode of Undisputed from start to finish. They've got a busy slate, so skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
Good morning. We tried to do Undisputed yesterday from my house in this very time slot. And as you might know, it failed. I don't know, technical difficulties. Yet it occurred to me last night that maybe my man Shannon Sharp just thought that my house wasn't cool enough for him. So today, I'm still in my house, my little humble abode here in the west side of LA. And my man Shannon went back to his palatial estate all the way up the hill from here in Bel Air. It's like Downton Abbey up there. Hey, Shannon, can you hear me way up the hill in your palatial estate?
I can hear you. And what happened, Skip, is that I realized I was playing it at such a disadvantage because you're like the Patriots. The audio kept going out when I wanted to speak. And so I had to move it.
Oh, one of those deals. Oh, you got me on that. Well, welcome sort of back to my house, Mr. Sharp. And we're on for only 1 hour today. We hope in the next few days to expand back to our normal time slot, which, as you Undisputed faithful know, is 9:30 to noon Eastern time on FS1. Today, only now 11 to noon on FS1. But we're about to have a power hour here because we're about to get into where are the Cowboys now? Where are the Patriots now? Mel Kiper, now in his latest mock, has Belichick taking Jordan Love at number 23 in the first round. Where's Cam Newton going? Predictably, the Panthers just cut him. Which brings us to our final topic. Who has the bigger benefit and advantage right now, LeBron's team or Kawhi's team from this forced layoff? But first up, Mr. Sharp. First question, unfortunately, deals with my Cowboys. Another crushing blow. Travis Frederick just turned 29 years of age. Obviously, he's been fighting this autoimmune deficiency that he has, and he finally was forced to retire. So, Mr. Sharp, we've had a pretty rough offseason here, starting with Dak Prescott getting tagged by Jerry Jones. This is going to make you very happy that I'm asking you this question, you being the number one Cowboy hater. How much trouble do you feel like the Cowboys are in now with all the things that haven't gone right in the offseason leading up to no more Travis Frederick?
Well, it definitely hurts that you lose Travis Frederick, Skip, because he's the quarterback of the offensive line. And you've noticed when he got back into the lineup, they were able to do things a lot better than what they did the year before, in which he missed with that illness. But the biggest thing is still Dak. Now, they still have an opportunity. They can go into the draft and get an offensive lineman. I don't know if there's any center that's graded as a number one draft pick, considering what the Cowboys are going to be picking. I don't know if that's the case. Maybe they can still scour. Maybe they can make trades. But this definitely hurts. Anytime you lose a perennial Pro Bowl player, an all-pro type center, and he's the anchor of your offensive line, that definitely hurts. But Skip, still, the number one issue that faces the Cowboys is Dak Prescott and that franchise tag. Dak wants a long-term deal. And if you lose Travis Frederick, Dak doesn't come to OTAs. He doesn't come to minicamp. He shows up late to training camp. You're in a world of hurt because what happened is that you didn't really lose a whole lot of key guys. You lost depth because Jerry kept the guy. Amari, he wanted to keep Amari. He kept Dak even though it's on a franchise tag. You did lose Randall Cobb. You lost Jeff Heath. You lost Jason Witten, guys that can be easily replaced, but that hurts your depth. Malik Collins is another guy that you lost. But, Skip, this definitely does not help your situation because Travis Frederick is one of the better centers in all of football, and that's a huge loss in the middle of your offensive line.
So, Mr. Sharp, today you have me on the run. I have told you again and again through the last football season how bullish I was on my football team, the Dallas Cowboys. Last offseason, I was way out on the end of the limb saying, I believe they're going to win the NFC and represent the conference in the Super Bowl. Instead of being bullish right now, I keep thinking of this word you often use on Undisputed, bull jive, right? That word, it's like there's been a whole lot of bull jive going on with my Cowboys this whole offseason. And I'm going to start with Travis Frederick. I'm a big fan of his, and I know he's not a big star to a lot of people. All he did was make 5 straight Pro Bowls. You can argue that his 5th one last year was a little bit on sympathy, a little bit on career achievement, a little bit on comeback player of the year. I don't think he was himself last year. And in fact, he admitted that yesterday. He just said, look, I can't any longer play up to who I used to be and what I used to expect of myself. And it makes me hurt for him, bleed for him, that he just turned 29 and he's having to say, I just can't play anymore. When in fact, and help me out, Mr. Hall of Famer, on this point, if you make 5 straight Pro Bowls, starting with your 2nd year in the league, one time he made the first team All-Pro, and I don't doubt that he would have done that again a couple of more times. What if he'd made 10 Pro Bowls, 12 Pro Bowls as a center?
Yeah, would Hall of Fame career.
Would you at least be in the, in the conversation anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I think he was that quality, that caliber of not only a player, but a leader. He was obviously the quarterback of the offensive line. He was a quiet, strong leader in the locker room. And this is a literal gaping hole in the middle of the line. Now, you can argue to me that because he wasn't quite himself last year, that made Ezekiel Elliott what I said that he was, which was not what he used to be. Maybe Ezekiel had his career worst stats across the board in part, maybe large part, because Travis Frederick wasn't himself. But I'm here to tell you that the whole line last year wasn't itself, that all those overpaid underperformers just weren't what they used to be, and not because they had autoimmune deficiency. They just, for whatever reason, injuries, age, maybe they're just a little full of themselves and resting on their laurels and on their paychecks. But Shannon, the whole line didn't block the way it used to, and they didn't even seem like a top 5 line to me last year. So I'm saying we start there, and that's not a great building block for next year's Cowboy offensive line because you've lost the center, Joe Looney. They just signed him for $2.4 million as the backup center. I just don't think he can carry that load. You know, Connor Williams, I'm not a big fan of him at left guard. He played some center in Texas. Maybe you could put him in the middle, which leads me to Dak. And again, we're doing the scope of the whole offseason. It just crushes my soul that Dak has the exclusive tag on him. And I've told you repeatedly, nothing good ever comes from a franchise tag. So all of a sudden, you have Dak at quiet war with Jerry. And I've said this before also, Shannon. Remember, Dak bet on himself through the last football season because we thought this deal would be done a year ago in the offseason, maybe in camp, maybe just before game one. So my point to you is he bet on himself, and I don't think he had a great year. I think that Dak began to crumble under the expectations of trying to play for a big contract even last year. So help me out. If he's betting on himself again, if they go forward with him with the tag on, I don't love his chances next year. I feel like the pressure will begin to get to him again to try to live up to getting what I think he wants, which is more than Patrick Mahomes is going to get. So, again, your thoughts on franchise tag going forward. How bad will it hurt this overall football team?
Well, I mean, Dak has to understand, since now I'm in preservation mode. As long as I come out this field healthy next year, I'm going to be in line for a big payday. Skip, he just saw what Ryan Tannehill got. Ryan Tannehill got $62 fully guaranteed million dollars for basically 8 regular season starts and 3 playoff starts. That's what he got. He up until that point, he hadn't a sniff a career of what Dak Prescott has had. And Dak says, hold on. I see all these guys that are less heralded than I getting paid. Why can't I? What's the problem? You say that I'm a franchise quarterback. You say that you believe that I can win multiple Super Bowls. But when it comes time to pay what the going rate is for it, because here's the thing, Skip, you do not pay a quarterback for what he's done. You pay a quarterback for what you believe he can do moving forward. That's what you've always told me. So if you do not believe Dak Prescott is worth 38, 39, 40, whatever he's asking for, move on. Because the price isn't going to come down. Because all Dak, Skip, he's only 26. So your franchise next year is going to be 27. So it doesn't get any easier. Skip, you remember our Marx Lareth had the very disease that Travis Frederick suffered, Guillain-Barre. And he said it took him not the year after, it was almost week 13 of the following year before he started to feel like him normal, his normal self. So maybe if Travis takes a year off, takes this year off, maybe next year he feels like himself. Because the thing is, Skip, when you are a great player, you know, you can't, like, an average guy can play 13, 14 years because the expectation level, Skip, is not what it is for him. He has an expectation level for himself. He's like, I've been an All-Pro. Yes, I made the Pro Bowl, but I didn't deserve it. That was a sympathy vote. And I cannot go out there in good conscience, take this man money. A lot of people could. I cannot go out there in good conscience and play at this level, which I know is unacceptable. My teammates see it. I see it. But I'm out here pilling around. No, I'm not worth the money that I'm drawing. So he shut it down.
I agree.
Now, that's a big gaping hole in the center of the offensive line because he's the quarterback. He does all, he makes all the calls. But the guy that's behind the center is the most important. And right now he's upset at Jerry because Jerry will not give him what he thinks he deserves.
And as you know, I'm upset at Dak. And I'm his biggest fan and supporter and defender, especially on this show. But I'm upset at Dak because I've finally come to believe that Dak and his agent are asking for out-of-bounds money. I believe because we don't know that figure exactly, that it has to be something up there beyond what even Patrick Mahomes will ask for. I know Jerry Jones inside out. His reputation is for overpaying star players. I think he overpaid Zeke out of Cabo last summer. I think he overpaid all the offensive linemen. I think he overpaid DeMarcus Lawrence. I think he overpaid any number of players all over the football field where you say none of them really lived up to who they should have been last year. So I think he's getting gun shy about just giving the sun and the moon to Dak Prescott when Dak is 1-2 in the postseason. And when Dak's team went 8-8 last year. And again, I'm a fan. I believe he can win Super Bowls, plural. But again, enough is enough. And Jerry's reputation would tell me, because he always says, when have you known me not to get one of these done? Because he didn't get it done last offseason or training camp or even during the regular season. I'm putting 2 and 2 together and it equals 40 plus million. As in, Dak is asking for something that's so off the planet that even Jerry Jones, the overpayer, the guy who always takes care of his sons on the football team, even Jalen Smith got, I think, a little overpaid, that finally Jerry had to draw a line in his sand, his Cabo sand, and say, I'm sorry, that's too much. So now we're stuck with an impasse that could make both sides unhappy as we go into next football season. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, Skip. Okay, we got 10 years of labor peace. They just did the new CBA. So from 2030, so from 2020 to 2030, there's no strike. Everything's going to be copacetic. Let me ask you this. How many years into this CBA before the $40 million quarterback is the $30 million quarterback? 2 years? 3 years? Because you know that's going to happen. Not even before halfway through, you'll have at least, at the bare minimum, 5-6 quarterbacks making $40 million. And I'm saying that they're going to make $40 million per year before the year 2025. Dak says, hold on. I do a 6-year deal. I'm making $33, $34. I got six guys at 2 years, 3 years after I signed, making $47 million per year, more than me. So you got to factor, Skip, where the cap is going and what Dak is going to be able to do. If you don't believe the cap is going to go up, I can get you. If you don't believe Dak is going to be any better than what he is right now, don't do the deal. But if the cap, if you believe the cap is going to go up, and you and I both believe that the cap will go up, considering they're already headed back to our bosses at Fox and all these other networks to talk about a new television contract because of the 17th game in the regular season, the extra playoff game in the postseason, you know the cap is going up. And Dak says, I'm only going to get better. I've improved every single year. Now, maybe the record is not indicative. Sometimes, Skip, records are not indicative of how good a team is or how good a said player is. Dak has gotten better. Whether, look, I believe a lot of his calories are empty, but Dak is a better quarterback in year four than he was in year one. And so Dak is saying, I'm going to be an even better quarterback in year 5, 6, 7 than I was in year 2, 3, 4. So, Jerry, there's a premium that must be paid on that potential.
Okay, I got lots of responses to everything you just said. I'm glad you just pointed this out. You, Shannon Sharpe, are not even a fan of Dak Prescott's. You gave him Fs for many of his performances last football season.
He earned those Fs.
8-8. Yeah, and you said empty calories and all those fourth quarter yards that he threw for. And I fought and fought and fought for Dak Prescott. But the point is, you're saying overpay a guy that you don't even believe in. So I find some not so delicious irony in that statement.
Skip,
and now I got a better question for you.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was going to say, do you believe if you gave Dak $38 million, he's overpaying him?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. Do you think the Rams believe that they have overpaid Jared Goff? You better believe they're looking at it now saying, what did we do? Do you think the Rams think they had overpaid Todd Gurley? They just cut him. And again, the only reason Zeke got what he got was because the Rams had overpaid Todd Gurley. The only reason you're making such a strong case for Dak Prescott is in large part because the Rams overpaid Jared Goff. So my point to you is, you have to be careful with this because as much as I love Dak and I'm betting on the come on what I think he could be, he's not that yet.
Right.
And when he bet on himself, he did throw for some empty calories. And I keep telling you, there were so many big plays a year ago that he failed to make that he had made in previous years. So again, I don't know for sure. I don't know what's there's some line of reality out there. And the one X factor, Shannon, you and I don't know is how much is he asking for? I don't know for sure. Is he asking for $45 million? It must be so out there that even Jerry, Daddy Jerry, is saying, I'm sorry, Sonny, that's too much, even for my blood.
Let me ask you a question, Skip. In the last 4 years, of the last 4 years that Dak Prescott has been the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, how many of those 4 years do you believe Dak was underpaid? All of them.
Obviously, every snap he took. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
But now...
I can't help it. He was a fourth-round draft choice. It's the way law of the land, you know? I can't fix that.
But see, the problem that I have is that team... You're absolutely correct. Dak was a fourth-round draft pick. He outperformed the contract. Jerry should have done this deal a lot sooner than what he did it. But here's the thing, Skip. Teams, organizations have no problem with a guy being underpaid for three, four years, being underpaid. But if they believe he's taking one snap and he's overpaid, oh, my goodness, the sky's falling.
Okay, but remember, they did agree to the new CBA. Everybody voted for it. At least the majority did. Now, I don't know if Dak voted for it or not. I have no idea. But in the end, Shannon, they awarded the owners, again, the right to use one franchise tag. And it has now been used on Dak. And it's a pretty great deal. You get nobody knows exactly what it's going to be, but it's like $33 million
Plus, Dak has, by last count, 12 national TV commercials on top of that. I know it doesn't count against the cap, but because he's the quarterback of America's team, you also get that extra advantage bonus money. So he's going to be well compensated next year, no matter what, right?
But here's the thing, Skip. He understands that he's going to be compensated for the 2020 season. But Dak wants long-term security. The thing that every player fights for is the long-term security. Because here's Skip, he gets hurt this year. Yes, he made 31, 32, 33, maybe even 34 million. Yes, he made that in 2020. But moving forward, he's never going to be able to recoup what he loses if he were to get hurt, and especially if it's a significant injury. He just saw Cam Newton. Cam Newton got released. He got $19 million still left on that contract. Todd Gurley had 3 years left on his contract, got released.
He did.
Leonard Floyd had $13.2 million guaranteed. If they had waited another 4 hours, he got released. Cam is factoring all that. No. Okay. If I'm Dak,
I got it.
I'm holding out, Skip.
Okay, so now you're going to tell me that he's not only going to have the tag on him and be at war with Jerry, but he's going to give less than his best. He's going to miss OTAs. He's going to miss training camp with a new head coach and somewhat of a new system. He's going to cripple my season.
Yeah.
They had to overpay. They already overpaid for Amari because he was the number one receiver on the open market. And this is the guy who plays only at home and who quit on them at the road at the Jets and obviously at the Patriots and then got pulled at the end of the game at Philly, all of those three losses. So what you're telling me is, I'm looking at a pretty sorry upcoming year for my Cowboys, and I do not like it. And something's got to change here in the next few days. I thought we were going to sign Emmanuel Sanders, and that didn't work out. So you know what, Mr. Sharp? I'm done with this conversation. I am changing the subject. No mercy. Welcome back to Undisputed. I'm in my little hovel here on the west side of Los Angeles. Shannon Sharp, my partner, is way up there on the hill in Bel Air in his palatial estate, and we are talking Patriots. Shannon Sharp, how are you, Shannon?
Yes.
Bill Belichick yesterday brought back Brian Hoyer. Then he cut Stephen Gostkowski, who's been one of the best kickers in NFL history. And now Mel Kiper says in his latest mock draft that just maybe Bill Belichick will take Jordan Love, the kid out of Utah State. Some are saying might be the next Patrick Mahomes with the 23rd overall pick in the first round. Other than that, Belichick has made little to no moves in free agency, none to speak of. So, Mr. Sharp, as you see it right now, are the Patriots without Tom Brady even a playoff team?
Look, I know it's hard for people to believe, but Coach Belichick is very, very calculated. Now, he's very callous. But he's calculated also, Skip. Those are two C words that I can say Coach Belichick is. He's callous and he's calculated. He does not do anything without rhyme or reason. Skip, you remember like his second year, he cut Lawyer Malloy because he refused to take a pay cut on a Tuesday and they had a game that Sunday. So we know he's callous. Him cutting Stephen Gostkowski, I'm not surprised. He cut Tyquan Underwood the night before the Super Bowl to bring a guy, activate a guy from the practice squad, and the guy didn't even play. So we know he's callous, but he's also very calculated. Mm-hmm. Skip, he's been planning for this day without Tom Brady for years. Now, he tried to speed that process up and make it happen a few years ago. It's only now people started like, man, he cold-hearted, he cold-blooded, he let Tom Brady walk out the door. Yeah.
Yep.
He's never going to get close enough to someone, Skip, to let that relationship affect the business aspect, the football aspect of his job. Your question was, are they going to be a playoff team? The question is, with the expectations that we now have for the Buffalo Bills, the expectations we now have for the Miami Dolphins, do we believe they're going to be able to meet those expectations? Because we have expectations for those two teams, and seemingly since Tom Brady has walked out of the door, we have very little expectation for the Patriots. They're a dangerous team when they're like this. I'm not going to bet against them. And, you know, it's not that I'm not betting against them. I'm not betting against Coach Belichick. He'll have that defense ready, and they'll play a lot of games, Skip. A lot of games will be close. They might win some. A lot of these close games, Skip, they would normally win with Tom Brady. They might lose. But if you think they're going to get blown out and they're going to look pathetic, I don't see that happening.
I am going to bet against Coach Belichick. As you know, I'm not a big fan of his, in large part of because of what he just did to Tom Brady. He went out of his way, did Belichick, over the last 2.5 football seasons to make Tom Brady's life as miserable as possible and try to drive Tom Brady out of Foxborough, and it finally worked. And now he's in a race to get back to the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Who's going to get there first? Obviously, Tom's just got 2 more shots in Tampa Bay. I still can't wrap my mind around Tom Brady in a Tampa Bay uniform. I don't know, orange and red and pewter. I don't know.
What did they put happened? Him in the creamsicles?
And they might. Why not?
The old Buck uniform.
I know. I actually kind of like those a little bit. So maybe they will go back to those. But the point is, I'm liking Brady's chances next year a whole lot more than I like Belichick's, because I believe Belichick will get exposed without Tom Brady as his buffer in the locker room, as the leader of his locker room, as the one guy who can rise above and transcend the dictator that was Bill Belichick. Sometimes the you-know-what, I can't say the word, that was Bill Belichick. He could get away with near murder in that locker room because Tom Brady would always have his back and say, come on, guys, it's okay. It's just the way it is around here. We're still going to go win the Super Bowl. He's going to miss Tom Brady in execution, especially in fourth quarters, and just overall huddle and in line of scrimmage leadership. So where is he left at quarterback? Again, for a while, it looked like he was going to go with Jared Stidham, fourth round pick. And he could say, look, I found my next Tom Brady, not the sixth round, but I found him in the fourth round. I'm not sold on Jared Stidham. I told you I've watched him a lot at Baylor and at Auburn. I thought in the biggest moments, he started to unravel, and I thought he lost his poise. And God bless him if he's going to try to step into those winged cleats in Foxborough next year if he gets thrown into that fire post-Tom Brady. And then I look at what else do you have? You got Brian Hoyer, who's now on his 10th stop in the NFL. Would he start Brian Hoyer? He might next year. I like Brian Hoyer okay, but again, where are you going? Are you going for 8-8? You going for 7-9? I don't know. So again, Mel Kiper, latest mock. Well, there are 2 things going on in that first round. That's Jordan Love at number 23, and I don't know what you think of Jordan Love. You know, I hear a lot of good things about him. I'll be the first to admit, I did not watch Utah State one snap last year. I watched Jordan Love in the Senior Bowl this year. Yeah, and Jordan Love threw 6 passes in the Senior Bowl. He was a starter, and he completed 4. He looked pretty good. He's 6'4", 225. He's prototype. He's obviously more athletic than Tom Brady, but he ain't Tom Brady. And I'm not sure about his accuracy. I'm not sure about it. Remember, Jordan Love in his previous year at Utah State, I guess that would have been his sophomore year. Yeah, remember, the previous year he was 32-6 touchdowns, interceptions. And then last year they had coaching change. They had a lot of new players on both sides of the ball. They lost a lot of starters, and he went 20-17 touchdowns to interceptions. I don't know. The problem is every time I hear Todd McShay rave about Jordan Love, I'm just not sure he's going to last to number 23 in the first round. But maybe that would be the successor ultimately. Or it could be Stiddy, as now the McCourties are calling him on their podcast that they do. Stiddy, as in Jared Stidham. I don't know, because around them is what? It's the same bunch of near garbage that Tom Brady had to try to rise above last year. Because, Shannon, free agency? Look what Belichick's done. He brought in, these are immortal players in the NFL. You're aware of Bo Allen, a backup defensive tackle, or how about Damir Bird? I liked him okay in Arizona last year. He started a few games for Kyler's team, but
he ain't changing no one's life, though.
Nope. And Adrian Phillips was hurt last year for the Chargers, but 2 years ago, back to 2018, he made the Pro Bowl and first team All Pro as a special teams player. So you went and got a really good special team. Way to go, Bill. I give you that. Special teams are a third of the equation. But where have you improved? You kept Devin McCourty. You tagged Joe Tooney. Wow. You kept the immortal. He is immortal. Matthew Slater is a great special teams player. So help me out. Think of the losses, Shannon. Yeah. Look at all the guys you've lost on defense. Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, Danny Shelton, Nate Ebner, Landon Roberts, then Daron Harmon they traded. Ted Karras, your starting center last year, is gone. I don't know. This team to me looks pretty mediocre on paper, right?
Skip, Coach Belichick did all this to show, I'm going to leave no doubt, it was me. Tom Brady left because he wanted to show no doubt it was me. But Coach Belichick, Skip, even if he makes the playoffs with this team, with all the losses that you just mentioned, he has to be in the running for Coach of the Year if he can make the playoff with this roster, as you mentioned it.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, so think about his division. Buffalo made the playoffs. Again, you talk about expectations. Now they're going to be expected to make the playoffs next year. Will they? I don't know. You know, I think they're better than the Patriots are right now. And I love the culture that Sean McDermott has installed and instilled in Buffalo, which brings me to the Dolphins. Late in the year, they knocked off the Eagles, and then they knocked the Patriots really out of the playoffs, even though they knocked them out of the 2 seed and lost the bye week. So 2 big wins for Brian Flores' team down the stretch. Then they go out in free agency, and they get Byron Jones. Again, I'm not the biggest fan because he doesn't intercept balls, but he's still a talented kid. And then they get Kyle Van Noy and Shaq Lawson and Emmanuel Ogbah. And I mentioned Ted Karras, Jordan Howard, Landon Roberts went there. And then check this out. They have the 5th overall pick, and they have an NFL-high 14 draft picks, and they have 2 other first-round picks. So they have 3 first-round picks, including number 5. Right now, in Mel Kiper's latest, he's got Tua going to the Dolphins. So again, what if they're Fitzmagic handing off eventually to Tua in Miami? Well, you love Tua. What if they do draft Tua?
They can. Are you?
Now what, Belichick?
And that would be great. I mean, because Fitzpatrick can keep the ship steady for a year. But normally what happens, Skip, after he has a great year, after he's up, he normally comes down. So I believe at some point in time, if they were to draft Tua or whomever, I believe that the 5th pick is going to be a quarterback, be it Tua or Herbert. I believe they're going to get one of those guys. But normally what happens is that when Fitzpatrick plays well 1 year, he normally falls off the next year, and that guy is probably going to have to play. You would hope not, but given what you've seen from Fitzpatrick over his career, that's what normally happens. But Coach Belichick really wants to leave no doubt in anyone's mind, Skip. He did this for a reason. He's been plotting. He's been methodically and systematically plotting this for an extended period of time, and he finally got his way. He finally won out. So no one should be surprised that I think they are surprised because, Skip, when you do it, it's like, oh, that was Lawyer Malloy. Oh, who is Tyquan Underwood? He's a nobody. Or, they released Ty Law and they trade Richard Seymour. Oh, those are nobody. But Tom Brady, I kept telling people, talk to Coach Belichick and you watch him, you observe him, everybody's the same. All you are a decal, you're a patriot. He doesn't show favoritism. He never has, he never will. Because he knows at some point in time, Skip, he's going to have to make a very difficult decision. Now, do I think this decision was difficult? Absolutely. Do I think he relishes an opportunity to try to win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady? If he were to win, I guarantee you, Skip, you always give him a truth serum. If he wins 1 Super Bowl without Tom Brady, it would mean more to him than those other 6. Because it would leave no doubt in no one's mind it was Coach Belichick's doing.
Okay, I want to go back on record one more time, right here, right now, on Undisputed, that I believe Bill Belichick has gone over the edge, just as some people thought Tom Brady had gone over the cliff. I believe Belichick has gone over the edge into self-delusion, that he's starting to believe his genius, his goatness. And I believe he's going to get exposed because I believe Tom Brady made it possible for him to insert whichever no-name cog he wanted to. on defense or in the offensive line or at receiver. And he got away with it for 20 New England years because of Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, over the next 2 years, he will get exposed as, wait a second, where's the magic, Coach Belichick? You put in that guy. How about Bo Allen? You put Bo Allen in your defensive front, and he's getting mauled. Where is he? What's happening on offense? Where are all the guys? What happened to Julian Edelman now that Jared Stidham is your quarterback? Jared Stidham. You know, where are they now? Because I believe that Tom Brady lifted everything just the way I believe he's already going to lift things in Tampa. And Shannon, I pointed out to you the other day, and I'm going to point. Go ahead.
No, what I wanted to say, the greatest thing that Tom Brady did, the greatest thing you can do as a leader in a on a football team is to co-sign what the head coach says. If he says we're going outside in sub-zero temperature, if the leader says that's what we need, the other guys would do that. That was one of Tom Brady's greatest contributions. People might not know it, is that he basically co-signed everything Coach Belichick put in front of him. He made it palatable.
Yep.
And so if Tom Brady's eating it, what am I supposed to do? Gobble it up.
Thank you. And he allowed Belichick to yell at him, to shame him in film sessions. Hey, Brady, how could you, what are you thinking? How could you make that throw? What did you see there, Tom? Right?
Yep.
So the point is, that's all going to be missing. That void of Brady-ness is going to be gone. So now all of a sudden, what did I tell you that Rick Stroud reported in the Tampa Times on Sunday? That Brady, in his negotiations with Tampa Bay, didn't ask for a single thing except one. He said, the money, whatever you want to give me. And they said, how about $25 million base? And he said, okay, there's some incentives that could get him to 29-ish. But again, this is the all-time, this isn't the steal of this century, this is the steal of every century. And then they said, do you want any control of the offense? Nope, I don't need any control. I trust Coach Arians. And I trust the great Tom Moore, who was Peyton's sort of big brother figure advisor in Indy for all those years. Tom Moore is now the overseer of the offense, along with Bruce Arians. So Tom said, I'm good with them. We'll figure that out.
Well, Byron Leftwich,
the only thing I asked
Skip,
for,
Byron Leftwich only calls the plays, though. Byron Leftwich actually calls the plays.
Well, trust me on this. In the end, Tom's going to call a lot of them at the line of scrimmage, but he's always done that. Yeah. He did that with Josh McDaniels. Yeah. Okay, so Brady asked for one thing. I need the phone numbers of all the receivers. That's on the day they agreed. That was Wednesday, sort of almost a week ago?
Yeah.
Give me the phone numbers of the receivers. In fact, he asked for the numbers of all the offensive players because he wanted to get on the same page with them and start to install and instill a culture in them of, can we get together and start throwing? I don't know. Maybe they're somewhere as we speak. I know we need to keep our social distance, but maybe just throwing footballs to each other, playing pitch and catch. He might be doing that. He might be out here in L.A. with those guys right now. And obviously, he chose Tampa because he had four receivers better than any one receiver he had in New England last year. He's got two Pro Bowlers at wideout and two stud young tight ends.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, the general manager, Jason Light, was there when they originally drafted Tom in New England.
He was.
So there is some familiarity there, Skip. But this notion, there are a lot of reports that's being out there about Tom Brady has been planning this day and Tom Brady's been doing that. Tom Brady started planning this day when Coach Belichick refused to give him an extension. And we talked about this. Every time Tom Brady said, I'm going to play until I'm 45, Mr. Kraft would co-sign it. And I said, Skip, the only person that I have not heard co-sign this is Coach Belichick. He says, we do things year to year. It wasn't until then that Coach Belichick was not going to give Tom Brady what he sought. It wasn't control. It wasn't a pat on the back. It was the years in which he wanted to get to that magic number of 45. And once Coach Belichick wouldn't give him that, once Coach Belichick wouldn't surround him with what Tom Brady thought was a Super Bowl contending team, he wanted out. Because guess what? Coach Belichick was that same jerk that talked to Tom Brady in a condescending tone throughout this 20 years. And it didn't bother him. He was the same guy that went, yeah, we'll give you some more money, but we're not adding years to that contract. That's the same Coach Belichick. It wasn't until Coach Belichick says, no, I got a year for you. That's next year. And you look at what's going on around you. I don't know. Then Tom Brady says, I want out. So this notion that Tom Brady has been plotting and planning, yeah, he probably was. But it would have been very interesting if he'd have still been plotting and planning if he had 3 years left on his contract in New England as opposed to zero.
Okay. Seth Wickersham reported on ESPN.com that Brady and Belichick had a blow-up over contract all the way back to after the 2017 season. So it's more than two football seasons ago that this started. I also think it started in Deflategate when Belichick called his own press conference and said, don't look at me. Ask my quarterback. I don't know anything about footballs. Yeah. And a lot of Brady's friends, I heard from several of them, they were not pleased with that. So, okay.
Yeah, because he didn't have to do that.
Okay, think about this. So Brady might have been plotting this. So he chooses a franchise that has the worst record in its history in all of sports, in any sport. The Bucs, the most woeful franchise in all of sports. But guess what? Next year, the Bucs have the Super Bowl in their home stadium. No team has ever gotten to play a Super Bowl in its home stadium. And I'm sure he's saying, watch this. And then my final point to you is, the Tampa Bay Times reported that the Bucs studied the film. They found no discernible deterioration in Brady's mechanics or skill or velocity or quickness of release. And I told you the stat the other day on deeper throws, 20-plus yard throws in tight windows, Brady completed 41%, which tied for first in the NFL last year. So his receivers weren't separating, but when they weren't downfield, he was still hitting them. I think you're going to see vintage Brady next year in Tampa, and I'm picking them to win the NFC, and I'm picking Belichick's team to miss the playoffs. Your thought?
Yeah, it's funny that, Skip, it's great. Yeah, Tampa has the worst win percentage of any professional sports team in North America. But that being the case, they still had the best talent that was available to Tom Brady. So don't let Tom make it seem like, because if they didn't have Mike Edwin, they didn't have Chris Godwin, and those two stud tight ends, he wasn't going to Tampa. So this notion that, oh, Tom, he picked the best available, just like Peyton did. Let's be all the way real. Peyton picked the best available talent that he could go to. They had better talent than Arizona. Okay. They had better talent than Tennessee, and they had better talent than the 49ers. And Tom picked the team that was available to him with the best talent, Skip. Stop that.
Okay, good luck to Bill Belichick.
No mercy.
So let's get to the news of the hour. Cam Newton, predictably cut by the Panthers. NFL Network reporting that he was offered in trade to both the Bears and the Chargers, who obviously could use a quarterback, you could argue. Both declined. So Shannon Sharp, what does that mean for Cam's future? Will anyone want Cam Newton even as a backup quarterback?
Sure. Why would I trade for him when I know you guys are going to release him? Why would I take on a $19 million salary when you're going to release him and that I can negotiate a contract that's more palatable and more cap friendly to me? Skip, they had to release him. You've signed Teddy Bridgewater, $63 million over 3 years. You got the guy from the XFL, PJ Walker, I think that's his name. So why would I trade for Cam and give you draft picks with that contract? That makes no sense, knowing you're going to have to release him.
Okay, so
that's LeBron.
Obviously, that's LeBron calling you. Oh, he's mad that we're not talking.
Yeah, he's up.
Yes,
and yes.
Okay, to your point, Matt Rhule had Walker when he was at Temple, and he won like 28 games with him. So he loves him, and again, he was the breakout star of the XFL. So got no problem with that. Again, I understand your point, but again, if you were the Bears and you were the Chargers and you really, really wanted Cam Newton and you feared there was another team that could trade for him, you would trade. At least you'd offer something. You'd offer a sixth or a seventh or I don't know. You might even offer a fifth if you were getting scared that the Bears wanted him, right?
No, but here's the thing, though, Skip. Remember, the Bears have Trubisky. They just traded for Nick Foles. And if I'm not mistaken, I forget. So now the Chargers like, well, hold on. What's the likelihood of somebody trading for a guy that's coming off an injury, coming off the foot injury? He had shoulder surgery also. What's the likelihood of somebody trading for a quarterback for $19 million, giving up draft picks when there's a greater chance they're going to release him and then we can get him on the cap at our liking? That makes no sense to me, Skip. Yeah. I believe that's it. Now, do I believe once he's released that Cam is going to get signed somewhere? Sure. Once the medical check out, he'll be just fine.
Okay, so the point is that the Bears probably were offered Cam before they chose to go Nick Foles. And again, did they choose Nick Foles over Cam Newton? I'm going to guess yes. And again, that's obviously
familiarity is Skip.
With Mitchell Trubisky. What's that? Say again?
They're Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy came from that system in Philly. He knows Nick Foles plays very well that system. Now, he has yet to play. Think about it. P.J. Walker. Why did Matt Rhule sign him? Why did they sign Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy Bridgewater has familiarity with Joe Brady, who was at New Orleans before he went to LSU. So what we're seeing, Skip, Phillip Rivers, familiarity. He goes to a guy that was his coordinator in San Diego. L.A. So what we're seeing, Skip, is that when guys bring these guys in, they're familiar with the system, and so they're not starting from ground zero. They can pick up the ball and start running right away.
Okay. So I also remind you that there's a guy named Jameis Winston still out there on the market cut by the Bucs. There's still a guy named Joe Flacco who has one of the great postseason resumes in the history of this league, and he's still out there cut by the Broncos on the open market.
Yeah.
Now we have musical chairs leaves us with the Chargers, who have Tyrod Taylor. I know he pronounces it Tyrod, and I can't do that. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. But I'm going to say Tyrod Taylor. Do I like Tyrod? I like him. I don't love him. Can he win you some games? Did he get Buffalo to the playoffs where they lost like 6-3 or whatever it was at Jacksonville in a playoff game? I think it was 9-6. But the point is, he's pretty good. Did he start for a while? Remember what Hugh Jackson did in Cleveland, Hard Knocks? He started for a while over Baker. Yep. Then Baker finally got a shot and boom, he took off. Maybe in Cleveland, they're wishing they had Tyrod back. I don't know, but I still believe in Baker Mayfield. But the point is that to me, the Chargers have a choice of Tyrod or Cam or Jameis or Flacco. And right now, Cam is so... What's that? Oh, because he's...
It should be between Cam and Jameis.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. But Flacco, at some point, if he ever gets healthy, still has some decent football left in him. But okay, I'm with you on this. Right now, I would take Jameis over Cam just because Cam seems so battered to me. He just seems like he's had five different things go wrong. And he's got like cauliflower body, you know, where he's just taken so much punishment that he's starting just to wear out physically. Jameis actually did a lot of great things. Like he threw 33 touchdowns, he threw 30 interceptions. But I still believe in a little younger Jameis than I would in Cam. That's just me. So, again, it's up to the Chargers. It seems like that's the only real landing spot for Cam right now. Unless he just wants to be somebody's backup quarterback.
Skip, that's going to be you think about it. You come in and you're the face of a franchise, and now all of a sudden they're asking you to be a backup. It hadn't been long that Cam was the MVP of the league. Man, that's a precipitous fall to go from MVP of the league, one of the best quarterbacks in all of football, to now out of work looking for a backup role.
I got you. I got to interrupt. I'm sorry these shows are so short at 1 hour, Shannon, but we're out of time. I want to thank you for watching. I want to thank everybody that made this show possible. Remember, we'll be back on in this time slot from 11 to noon Eastern on FS1 tomorrow. Until then, please stay safe and please, please stay home. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning. See you then. Facts, sports, one of one.